Welcome along this evening. Glad you're here. Well, welcome back. This morning I spoke on the will of God, part one. Tonight we go into the will of God, part two. So let's pray and then we'll begin. Father, thank you for your Son and thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us from the word of God tonight, teach us many things. I pray, Lord, you'd encourage us in the faith, you'd strengthen us. I pray, Lord, our faith would grow. Pray, Lord, you'd have your will and your way in every life tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we looked at God's will. We looked at there has to be, firstly, a personal desire to know the will of God, to find the will of God, to do the will of God. We also talked about how that circumstances, God uses circumstances many times to show the will of God. We used a number of illustrations on that to show how that God used circumstances in the life of Joseph, in the life of Abraham's servant, and so many other individuals throughout the Word of God. We can see that the hand of God was there to show his people his will through circumstances. But as I also said, don't rely on circumstances to find the will of God. Sometimes God uses circumstances, sometimes God uses other means. We'll look at the next point in that tonight. So there firstly has to be a personal desire. If you haven't got that personal desire, you'll never find or do the will of God. Don't rely on circumstances, although God can use circumstances to guide and show you his will. The third thing is the Holy Spirit's guidance, and we all certainly need the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives to determine the will of God. If we'll turn to the book of John, firstly, chapter 14, please, tonight, show the importance of the Spirit of God in our lives because he lives in us to guide and direct us. John 14, if you look at verse 16, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Notice the Spirit of truth. God guides and directs by the Spirit of truth that lives in believers. And the Spirit of God speaks to his people. He talks to us. Sometimes God's people ignore him and they don't listen or pay attention. But the Holy Spirit is there. He will guide us. The Bible says he will guide us into all truth. In verse 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So the Holy Spirit is not going to inspire the writing of the Word of God, but he's also going to bring to remembrance all the teachings that the Lord Jesus Christ passed on to his disciples. Today, the Holy Spirit indwells believers, and of course, he is still directing people today through the Word of God, through the truth of God's Word, and I wanted to get down to that a little bit tonight and show you how he does that. Also, if you look at John 16 and verse 13, the Spirit of truth, he lives within us, he guides. I want you to see the Spirit of truth because the Spirit of God will never lead you into error, but the Spirit of God will bring you out of error because he is the Spirit of truth. John chapter 16, verse 13. John 16 and verse 13. You need to have a real close look at this verse too, incidentally. It says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." There's a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit and the direction of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit. But as we see here in verse 13, it says, "He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself." The Holy Spirit will never magnify himself above the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. "He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so as we even look at that phrase there, he will show you things to come. The future is in the hands of the Lord, but there's a lot of stuff in the scripture that the Holy Spirit shows us is coming up in the future. And so we know how it's all going to end because the last chapter's been written. The devil knows how it's going to end because even his fate has been written. That's why he's so busy trying to get people like you and me off the track. He doesn't have to worry about the lost people because they are already his children. The Lord Jesus told the religious leaders of the day, they were claiming to be children of God because they were children of Abraham. And in John 8:44, Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil. They were not God's children, they were the devil's children. I was nearly going to preach a message on contrasting pairs in the scriptures, but I didn't get to that. Our Lord led me this way. But you know, when you read through the scriptures, there's only two masters. One is the Lord, the other is the devil. I shared with the kids a few of those things, but I won't share that with you tonight. You have to come to school to hear that. But anyway. So the Lord Jesus Christ says that the Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. He will glorify me. He will glorify and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. So some of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit that's taught today is just contrary to the scripture itself based on those two verses alone. All right, let's look at another couple of verses of scripture here talking about the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. Have a look over at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 tonight. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, watch this, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. False spirits out there trying to get the ears and the attention of people. And when we get out to give out gospel leaflets and we're out there witnessing, guess what? They're seducing spirits saying, don't listen to him. It's all a bunch of lies. And I'll try and distract. You know, as we read over there in Matthew 13, as the seed is sown, and we read how the birds of the air come down and steal the seed. That's what happens when you're out there witnessing. You're out there telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the devil's there snatching away what you're giving people, and he doesn't want people to know the truth. That's what it says over there in Matthew chapter 13. And so, yeah, the devil doesn't like what we're trying to do, as our brother said here tonight. He's keeping an eye on us because he knows he's got a short time and he wants to take as many to hell with him as he can. Well, the Spirit of God, the Bible says, will guide into all truth. And we see here in 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines straight out of the pits of hell. People are being distracted. Believers are being taken away by false doctrine because they've been listening to seducing spirits, questioning the word of God, questioning the doctrine of God. And so the will of God is, let the Spirit of God teach you truth. He will not guide you into error, but he will guide you into truth. He will not glorify himself, but he will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts. That's not only our emotions, but our desires. We can ask the Spirit of God to give us the desires that are the right sort of desires for the will of God. And he will give us the desires of our heart if they're the right desires to do the will of God and to please God. So ask the Spirit of God to put the desires in your heart to guide you into his will. And if you're having a struggle and a battle with sin and bad habits and stuff like that, when I was a young fella and got saved, I had a lot of struggles with the old nature, the old flesh. I begin to ask God, the Spirit of God, to give me the desires to override the ones that were wrong. Give me right desires and take away the wrong desires. So if you're having a problem with wrong desires, ask God to take those wrong desires away and to put good desires there. Help me. Ask the Lord to help you if you're having a struggle. Ask the Spirit of God. It's his will to help you. So he not only speaks to our hearts, our emotion, but also our desires. He also speaks to our minds, our thoughts, our impressions. I've said before here preaching, the best way to read the Word of God for yourself without distraction is to read it softly aloud to yourself. That's not a contradiction, a bit of a paradox, but read it softly but aloud to yourself so you can hear what you're reading, less chance of getting sidetracked. The Spirit of God guides through all truth. Ask him to guide you through the Scriptures, to speak to you from the Scriptures. I was talking to the men here the other night. The Lord will show you things from the Scriptures. You know, we think sometimes, look what I found, when actually it's the Spirit of God says, see that? See that? The Spirit of God points things out. He's the one that reveals truth. So it's an area of trust the Lord, trust the Spirit of God to guide you into all truth. Ask him to guide you into and to know the will of God and to do it. Let's look over at 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. Let me get there. 1 Kings chapter 13. I don't want to rush this, but I want to cover this particular point because it's important. Because the Spirit of God lives in our lives. He is our guide. He is our comforter. He is our leader. 1 Kings chapter 13. If you look down there with me, 1 Kings chapter 13. It's a great chapter of the Bible. Look at verse 24 with me tonight, please. 1 Kings 13, 24. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. Why am I telling you about this? Well, this is about a prophet that was called of God. If you read this chapter, this prophet of God was given a mission to go into a town to deal with the town of its idolatry, to speak out against the altar that had been raised up there in the idolatry. And this man obeyed God and went in there. And God said, when you do this, don't stop and fellowship with anybody. Don't go home and drink or eat food with people, but go back another way. So this old prophet did what God had told him to do. And incidentally, the king, when he heard that this man had cried against the altar, he put forth his hand and said, take him! God froze his hand in time. You can read that there in the 13th chapter. He stuck out his hand, and I tell you what God said. Verse 6. The king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. The man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in thy place, for so it was charged me by the word of the Lord. He knows what the will of God is. He knows what he's supposed to do. He knows what he's not supposed to do. And so he does what he's supposed to do. And of course, he gets on his way. And all of a sudden, there's another old prophet in this town. And his sons run home to the old prophet and say, you know, there was a prophet in town today, and this is what he did, and this is what God did. And the old prophet said, well, which way did he go? Let's get after him. Let's find him. So that old prophet tracked down the prophet that God had sent to speak against the altar. And that prophet said to this other prophet, he says, come home with me and, eat and drink, refresh thyself. And the prophet said, well, I'm not supposed to do that. God has already told me I'm not supposed to, go home with anybody. I'm just supposed to keep going the other way. That prophet said to the other prophet, he said, well, you know, I had a vision from an angel of God, and he told me to tell you to come home with me. You'll get people tell you things like that. Well, the Lord told me that you're in the wrong, and this is what you're supposed to do. You know what I say to people like that? When somebody tells me that the Lord spoke to them to tell me, I'd say, well, if the Lord spoke to you to tell you, to tell me, I'd say, well, the Lord needs to tell me rather than get it from you. Because we find here that this prophet went home, he disobeyed God, and the Bible says down here that he had violated the will of God by doing what he had done by going home with that other prophet. And so it certainly was a test to that other prophet. It says down here, it came to pass in verse 20, as they sat at the table, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. You know you shouldn't have done this. You know what the will of God was. But you listened to me, you listened to this, and you came along. So, you know, we know what the will of God is many times, what the Word of God says many times, and sometimes others will try and trick you up and get you out of the will of God. That's why you need to say, well, I'll go and pray about it. I'll seek the Lord on this. I'll get direction from God on this, because I'm not just going to listen to somebody that's telling me something that's contrary to the will of God that's already been revealed to me. That's just make sure it is the will of God. So I just throw that out for a little bit extra. I won't charge you for that. Look at 1 Kings 19. So the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. He speaks to our minds. I've had young men say, I don't know what God wants me to do. I'd say, well, pray about it, but also ask the Lord to give you the desire of his heart so that you will know what that is. But not only that, to impress upon your mind the thoughts and that come from the Word of God. Let's look over here. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. What time do you finish your Sunday night, Brother Les? Does it give you license? Yeah, 1 Kings 19, verse 9. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah's hiding in a cave. They've just had the battle with the false prophets on Mount Carmel, and of course God got the victory there. But then Jezebel, when she heard that all of her prophets had been slain, she said, by this time tomorrow, you're a dead man. So Elijah got on the run. He was more afraid of Jezebel than he was of Ahab. Don't ever call your daughter Jezebel. It's not a very good name. So here he is hiding in this cave. And God said, what are you doing here? Verse 9. He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Verse 10. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. God said, hang on a minute. You know, there's another 7,000 like you that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. They told him, get on your way. But as you look at this here, I want you to see something here in verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. I've spoken before in many places about we used to insure our houses against acts of God. You remember that, brother? We don't do that anymore, because insurance companies won't insure you against acts of God. They've replaced God with Mother Nature. We don't agree with that. But this wasn't Mother Nature here. There was earthquakes. There was fire. There was wind. The Lord wasn't in it, but it was a still small voice. But let me say this, God uses fire, wind, rain, drought, famine, all of those as an instrument to deal with mankind. It's not climate change, sorry. I don't go along with all that stuff. I think it's a bunch of rubbish. But anyway, what I'm saying here, these were acts of God. God wasn't in those acts, but anyway, he just demonstrated that it was by his Spirit, small, still voice, that he spoke to Elijah. We think about Jonah. You remember? God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. God said, go, and Jonah said, no. He went the other way. And he knew what the will of God was. The will of God was that he was to be over there in Nineveh. But he went the opposite direction. God said, go, and he said, no. He went out and jumped in a boat and headed across the Mediterranean going to Tarshish. The Bible says God sent out a storm. See, that was one of those instruments God was using to get Jonah's attention. He knew he was on the run from God, and he bragged about it to the sailors. They knew he was on the run from God, but you know how foolish to do that. So he knew what the will of God was, but he went against the will of God. And so God had to straighten him out on that. Just an eight-word message. And you know, God used Jonah in spite of himself. 120,000 people repented and got saved there in Nineveh. Galatians chapter 5, if you'll turn there, please. So the Spirit of God, he will guide you into all truth. So the Spirit of God plays a big part in knowing the will of God. Ask the Spirit of the Lord for guidance from his word, because he will guide you from the word of God. Galatians chapter 5, if you look down verse 16, Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Yes, we have a battle and a struggle going on within us, the old nature and the new nature. The old nature wants to do its thing. The new nature wants you to do what's right, to do God's will. So don't feed that old nature. Starve the old nature and feed that new nature with the word of God, with the truth of God, and allow the Spirit of God to do a work in your life to change you. Surrender and yield. Verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the Lord. So there's that word, led by the Spirit. Then, of course, if you look down in Psalm 5:8, I want to go quickly in these Psalms, so if we can cover the next point, that'll be good too. We may not even get to cover that tonight. I might have to keep coming back, Brother Les. Sorry. Now, look down here in Psalm 5. I didn't want to skip over this, but I wanted to give you, because the Spirit of God in your life is an important part, one of the most important parts in knowing the will of God, because he leads, guides, and directs. And incidentally, the devil can't hear the Spirit of God speaking to your heart. The devil can't read your mind. I mean, he can put thoughts there. The Bible says he can put thoughts there, but he can't read your thoughts. He can't read your mind. I don't think he likes it when the Spirit of God speaks to us and directs us, because he can't hear the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God doesn't speak for the devil to hear. Psalm 5 and verse 8. Not trying to be spooky here tonight. So Psalm 5 and verse 8 says, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face." Isn't that a good prayer? Pray and ask the Lord to lead you by the Spirit of God. You know, what we've been doing with all the conflict that's been going on the last 2 years, with all this stuff we've had to put up with, I've been praying through the Psalms. I'll read through the Psalms and I'll see a prayer there that David prayed, and I will pray and say, "Well, Lord, you deal with them as you did here." That's biblical, isn't it? I think it's good to pray as the psalmist prayed, and as the prayers were there in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. Pray as the saints prayed. Also down there in Psalm 25. Psalm 25, if you turn there, please. Psalm 25. If you look with me in verse 5, Psalm 25 and verse 5. "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." That's a great prayer right there in verse 5. But also it says, "Lead me in thy path, in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Wait on God. Trust God. Lean on God. Walk by faith. Allow him to lead you, to teach you. Psalm 27. Verse 11. Psalm 27. Verse 11. "Teach me thy way, O Lord." Do you have that hymn in your hymn book? That's a great hymn. Ever preached a sermon from a hymn book, Brother Les? I have. So, I've used the phrases from the hymn book and then taken them to the Word of God, said, this is where they got it from. "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path." I like that. Uncomplicated, without distraction, because of mine enemies. I want to know clearly, Lord, please direct me and show me a plain path. "Teach me thy way, O Lord." You do it your own way, you can certainly make mistakes. There's God's way. There's two of those contrasting pairs in the Scripture, or one of those contrasting pairs, God's way and man's way. There's a subject for some of you young fellas to preach on. Get in your concordance and your topical index, look at God's way and man's way. What a contrast. And you'll see it's better to do things God's way. Things will work out a lot better. So let's cover down here in Psalm 143. So the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God in determining the will of God to lead us, to teach us, and to find the will of God and get it into action. Psalm 143. Psalm 143. You'll have to excuse me for taking so long. The arthritis in my fingers makes me take a little bit longer turning these pages. But here in Psalm 143, look at verse 10 with me, if you would, please. "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." Now, these were Old Testament verses, but this is New Testament doctrine. Now, I said to the fellas, you can take Old Testament verses and you can apply it to New Testament doctrine, but there's some Old Testament verses you cannot. But these are verses we can show you how that the Spirit of God will lead, will guide, will teach, will direct, and he'll keep you from falling if you trust him and ask him for the desires of your heart. doing what God wants and not what we want. Ask the Spirit of God to help you through that. It's a battle, it's a struggle, and we are in a battle every day. As you read Ephesians chapter 6, we face the onslaught of the enemy, and that's why we have to put on the whole armour of God. So that's point number three. The fourth point is there's the CS factor, or the common sense factor, the Christian sense factor, or the biblical sense factor in determining the will of God. Well, how do we get the common sense factor, or the biblical sense factor, or the Christian sense factor in determining the will of God? It's like common sense. As you read the Word of God, the directions are there. If all else fails, read the instructions. Isn't that true? All right, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now that's a principle there. How do I know what I'm supposed to do? Well, common sense is you don't do the wrong thing. Whatsoever you do in eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, this was spoken of the other night at Brother Nason's place, the glory of God. We want to glorify God, but we also want to show the glory of God. That's also found in Colossians 3, verse 17. Colossians 3, verse 17. Determining the will of God, use common sense. Use biblical sense. What does the Word of God say? Live by it, and it won't lead you astray. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Well, let me tell you something. There's a lot of things said and a lot of things done now in the name of the Lord that's certainly not God's will. How do we know that? Well, there's just some things that are just plain wrong. Some things that are just plain questionable. Some things that are just plain concessions to the truth, or on the truth, and just straight out compromise. And that's why we as believers, we need to stick by the Word of God. It will not lead you wrong. There's right, wrong, and doubtful. We know right is right, wrong is wrong, and doubtful is sin. I said this up in Mackay. I said, you know, the left is confused. Why? Because the left doesn't like anything that's right. The left thinks that wrong is right. They got that wrong. But we who are right know what's wrong. We know the left always gets it wrong, so they don't like the right. So if we know what's right, we better make sure we keep it right, because if we don't keep it right, the left are going to get their own way, which is wrong, and all we'll have left is what's left. Isn't that true? I hope that didn't confuse you. Let's keep going. All right, so use common sense. The Word of God is very plain about what is right and what is wrong, and anything that's doubtful or questionable, we don't do it. Why? Because if it's doubtful, it's sinful. All right, so if you're unsure about something, again, the will of God is wait to determine the will of God. I may not get to finish this whole series, but there's a thing called the peace of God that passeth all understanding. That's the last point you need to understand. If I die tomorrow and not get to finish this, the last point of this is the peace of God that passeth all understanding. That's how you determine the will of God. The word peace there is God's umpire. What does the umpire do? He says, no, that's in, that's out, that's wrong, that's right. And the Spirit of God, peace, is God's umpire. And he will help you to make the decisions based on that peace. Let's keep going here. All right, the logic of the situation. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Common sense, biblical sense, Christian sense, whichever you want to term you want to put this in. So Titus chapter 2, we're looking down at verse 12. Titus 2 and verse 12. Titus 2, 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Well, that's pretty plain there. You don't have to spell it out in do's and don'ts. It says, teaching us denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's the logic of the situation. Is this going to glorify God? How is this going to affect my testimony? Is it going to bring reproach on the name of the Lord? Is it right? Is it sin? Is it compromise? Does it glorify God? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, please. Colossians 1, 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and all that in all things he might have the preeminence. Does he have the preeminence in our life? Is he put first in our life? Well, this is one thing that helps us to use common sense. Put him first. Don't put him in the background, because if you put him in the background, you can guarantee everything is going to go south. So let him have the preeminence in your life, and the will of God will be plain as day to you. And then, of course, the last point on this is last time's dealing. How did God deal with these situations in my life or in other people's lives in the past? There are many, many examples in the Word of God about this. For example, how did God deal with Paul? How did God deal with Peter and James and John? Well, you know, sometimes they were confronted with the same issue, with the same things, and so they said, well, how are we going to get around this? We'll just trust the Lord and see what happens. And they trusted the Lord, and the Lord led them, and the same thing happened again. Look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So sometimes God uses the same circumstances and all these sort of things to get his will across. Sometimes we can say, well, I learned from the past, and I'm sure the Lord's trying to teach me through this situation the same way. So sometimes God uses the same things to teach us his will, even though his will was revealed in a previous situation. He's revealing his will in a present situation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you'll turn there, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look on down in verse 22. He said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labours more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren. And a whole list of other things there. You say, was he in the will of God? You know, there are people teach that if you're going through those sorts of things, you must not be in the will of God. Well, as I read the life of the Apostle Paul, he was always in trouble, but he was always in the will of God. And we see him going through the same things over and over. We see here 5 times was he beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked. He was thrown into prison. Same with Peter, James and John. So God was revealing his way. Hey, fellas, this is what you've got to go through this time, and it may come another time and another time. So just trust the Lord. Wait on the Lord. There was prison. There was suffering. There was tribulation. 2 Corinthians 12 and we're done. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look on down with me, verse 10 and verse 11. Paul said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying, ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. So the Apostle Paul was a very humble man. He was always in the will of God. He was always in trouble. He was always in trouble in the will of God. God still blessed Paul, even though he was not in trouble. God blessed Paul even though he was in trouble. And as you look at the New Testament church, we saw Peter and James and John. We saw them wind up in prison, dragged before the local court there, forbidden to preach the word of God, but they still continued. This is the will of God. We're going to continue to preach the word of God, and this is the will of God, and you can't stop us. Whether it be right in the sight of God, you make the decision. And even Gamaliel, old Gamaliel, says, you know, we ought to be careful messing with these guys because you never know, we might be fighting against God. See, even Gamaliel, he'd heard things, he'd seen things, and he wondered a lot of things because he heard about this Christ, he heard about these Christians, he heard about this church growing, so he was wondering. I don't know whether Gamaliel ever got saved. He's the bloke that taught the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus said that he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. And so Gamaliel was a man that saw a lot of things, weighed a lot of things up. I don't know whether Gamaliel ever got saved, but I'll tell you what, when it came for a confrontation with the apostles, he said, we need to be careful that we're not messing with God, because we might be fighting against God. If this thing's not of God, he said, this thing will come to naught. So he knew if this is the will of God, this thing will survive, and it survived. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of God's word, and thank you for the guidance of your spirit, Lord, and tonight we will pray for your guidance as we seek your will, to do your will. to know your will. How can we do the will of God unless we know it? So, Lord, I pray you'd reveal your will to us through your word, by your spirit, and I pray, Lord, you'd give us direction. We wait upon you, Lord, and we pray you'd speak to our hearts. Strengthen us, Lord, and I pray you'd increase our faith. Encourage us. Those that may be discouraged tonight, I pray the Spirit of God would encourage them. Speak to hearts in the closing moments of our service. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Brother Les.